Let's pray. Book of Judges. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the Word of God, and we ask of you that you would take this group of people here, your people, your sheep, the flock, Lord, your people, and you would make us disciples of Jesus. So we ask for the Good Shepherd tonight to lead, guide, teach, instruct. Lord, thank you for your corrections. What would we do without him but be lost? So we thank you for the difficult things. We thank you for, Lord, the lesson, and we thank you for the truth. Pray tonight that we would learn and that we'd follow after you. And this I pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, Book of Judges, chapter 1. Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, "Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them?" And the Lord said, "Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand." And Judah said unto Simeon, his brother, "Come up with me into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I likewise will go with thee into thy lot." So Simeon went with him. And Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand, and they slew them in Bezek, 10,000 men. And they found Adonai Bezek in Bezek, and they fought against him, and they slew the Canaanites and the Perizzites. But Adonai Bezek fled, and they pursued after him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and his great toes. And Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings have, having their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their meat under my table as I have done. So God hath requited me. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. Now the children of Judah had fought against Jerusalem and taken it, and smitten it with the edge of the sword, and said, afterward the children of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites that dwelt in the mountain, in the south and in the valley, and Judah went against the Canaanites that dwelt at Hebron. Now the name was Hebron before it was Kiriat Arba. And they slew Sheshai and Amihan and Talmai. And from thence he went against the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was Kiriat Sefer. And Caleb said, "He that smiteth Kiriat Sefer and taketh it, to him I will give Aksa my daughter to wife." And Othniel the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it, and he gave him Aksa his daughter to wife. And it came to pass, when she came to him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field, and she led it off from her ass. And Caleb said unto her, "What wilt thou?" And she said unto him, "Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water." And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Well, tonight we launch, if you will, back to the Old Testament, Book of Judges. I don't know if anybody picked up Hallie's Bible Handbook and read ahead a little bit. Approximately a 300 to 400-year time period with the children of Israel dwelling in the promised land, really with God as their king. No centralized form of government that will come later under when they ask for kings after Samuel, but proves to be rather interesting in study and learning and applying. Here's how we're going to do this. And taking it up this way, that the Book of Judges is the warning for us, right? It's the warning for us not to live like the people around you. Okay? A really good application. Again, we talked about crossing over the wilderness, you know, disobedient children of Israel dwelling in the wilderness. They finally cross over, Book of Joshua. God gives them great victory over the enemy. And now they have to learn to dwell and possess the land and be, if you will, fruitful and prosperous in it. And it's a great application for us to heed this warning, not to live like the people around us. Don't follow their ways. I'm looking at this in what's going on in the world and the way that things are progressing. Don't follow their ways. Follow the Lord. That's how we're going to take this this Book of Judges. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. So I'm going to start out with some bad news tonight. Just got to load it. I didn't plan for it. I planned, but I didn't load it up. So this is a report coming today in the news. United Methodists at major conference repeal their church's long-standing ban on LGBTQ clergy. Charlotte, North Carolina, United Methodist delegates repealed their church's long-standing ban on LGBTQ clergy with no debate. Who's got their phone on? What was that?
I was being my mistake, sorry.
It was you?
I was trying to silence it.
Okay. We're good now?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
We're going to have a little Spencer incident here again. There you go. All right, we're good to go. Anybody else want to get their silence now while that happened? Good to go? All right. Take two. United Methodists at major conference repeal their church's longstanding ban on LGBTQ clergy. Charlotte, North Carolina. This is an AP article. You can find it. It was published today. United Methodist delegates repealed their church's longstanding ban on LGBTQ clergy with no debate on Wednesday, removing a rule forbidding self-avowed practicing homosexuals from being ordained or appointed as ministers. Delegates voted 692-51 at their general conference, the first such legislative gathering in 5 years. That overwhelming margin contrasts sharply with the decades of controversy around the issue. Past general conferences of the United Methodist Church had steadily reinforced the ban and related penalties amid debate and protest, but many of the conservatives who had previously upheld the ban have left their denomination in recent years, and this general conference has moved in a solidly progressive direction. Applause broke out in parts of the convention hall after the vote, Wednesday after the vote. A group of observers from LGBTQ advocacy groups embraced, some in tears. Thanks be to God, once said one. This change doesn't mandate or even explicitly affirm LGBTQ clergy, but it means the church no longer forbids them. It's possible that the change will mainly apply to U.S. churches, since United Methodist bodies in other countries, such as in Africa, have the right to impose the rules for their own regions. The measure takes effect immediately upon the conclusion of General Conference scheduled for Friday. The consensus was so overwhelmingly that it was rolled into a consent calendar, a package of normally non-controversial measures that are bundled into a single vote to save time. I'm not done yet, just getting going. Yes, I'm going to make you go through this. Also approved was a measure that forbids district superintendents, a regional administrator, from penalizing clergy for either performing a same-sex wedding or from refraining from performing one. It also forbids superintendents from forbidding or requiring a church from hosting a same-sex wedding. That measure further removes scaffolding around the various LGBTQ bans that have been embedded various parts of official church law and policy. On Tuesday, delegates have begun taking steps to dismantle such policies. Delegates are also expected to vote as soon as today on whether to replace their existing official social principles with a new document that no longer calls the practice of homosexuality incompatible with Christian teaching, and that now defines marriage as between two people of faith rather than between a man and a woman. The changes are historic in a denomination that has debated LGBTQ issues for more than half a century at its general conferences, which typically meet every 4 years. On Tuesday, delegates voted to remove mandatory penalties for conducting same-sex marriages and to remove their denomination's bans on considering LGBTQ candidates for ministry and on funding for gay-friendly ministries. About 100 LGBTQ people and allies gathered outside the Charlotte Convention Center after the vote, many with rainbow-colored scarves and umbrellas, to celebrate, pray, and sing praise songs accompanied by a drum. Bishop Karen Oliveto, the first open lesbian bishop in United Methodist Church, was among those celebrating. It seemed like such a simple vote, but it carried so much weight and power, as 50 years of restricting the Holy Spirit's call on people's lives has been lifted, said Oliveto. Of the Mountain Sky Episcopal area, which includes Colorado, Montana, Utah, and Wyoming, people can live fully into their call without fear. The church we've loved has found a home for us. Angie Cox, an observer at the meeting from Ohio, said she had gone before her conference's board of ordained ministry 6 times, but was told no just because of the prohibition on LGBTQ clergy. She said Wednesday's vote means I might be able finally to live fully into my calling. Tracy Merrick, a delegate from Pittsburgh, who has advocated for LGBTQ inclusion at several previous conferences, said with emotion that there were many times when I thought we would never see this day. The vote, he said, enables the church to become the denomination that many of us had envisioned for years. At the same time, the vote comes following the departure of 1/4 of the U.S. churches within the UMC, and it could also prompt departures from some international churches, particularly in Africa, where more conservative sexual values prevail and where same-sex activity is criminalized in some countries. Last week, the conference endorsed a regionalization plan that essentially would allow the churches of the United States the same autonomy as other regions of the global church. That change, which still requires local ratification, could create a scenario where LGBTQ clergy and same-sex marriage are allowed in the United States but not in other regions. More than 7,600 mostly conservative congregations in the United States disaffiliated between 2019 and 2023, reflecting dismay over the denomination not enforcing its bans on same-sex marriage and LGBTQ ordination. The conference last week also approved the departure of a small group of conservative churches in the former Soviet Union. The church's 1972 General Conference approved a statement in its non-binding social principles that homosexuality is incompatible with Christian teaching, a phrase omitted in a revision to the social principles that is also headed for a conference vote this week. The now-repealed ban on clergy who are self-avowed practicing homosexuals was originally enacted in 1984, when the conference also voted to require fidelity in marriage and celibacy and singleness. The denomination had until recently been the third largest in the United States. I get a kick out of that. Present in almost every county, but its 5.4 million U.S. membership in 2022 is expected to drop once the 2023 departures are factored in. The denomination also counts 4.6 million members in other countries, mainly in Africa, though earlier estimates have been higher. So, one of the reoccurring themes in the book of Judges, every man doing what's right in his own eyes. Well, if there ever was a time for us to follow the Word of God, it's now. We come to study the book of Judges after the death of Joshua. Now, turn back to Joshua 23 and 24. We're not going to read the whole thing, but a guy like Joshua can't live forever. Lord delivered, did mighty work. He was courageous, led the people. In a couple ways, I've taken a context of this. As we're studying on Sunday, as a new believer, desire the pure milk of the Word. Again, you think about the basics of we need the Word of God, we grow by the Word of God. And seemingly, as denominations have grown up and matured, they have cast off restraint and no longer need the Word of God. So I find it in coming to having studied Joshua with that crossing over of leading that Spirit-filled life, we take heed under the warning that we would not live like the world around us. That we would not live like the United Methodist, right? We would not live like the others. Joshua 23:6. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. Again, just you have that. That was the word of God. That's all they had. They had Moses' writings. That was the entirety of the scripture they had. It's like what we have now. So again, in the context of the scriptures, Joshua says, follow the Bible, right? Follow the word of God. You're the people of God, follow the word of God. He says, be very courageous. Now, this is the call, right? This is, we're going to learn and take heed under this warning not to live like those around us. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefore to the right hand or to the left. Okay? That ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves down to them, but cleave unto the Lord your God as you have done this day. Verse 11, 23:11. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Now as we enter into this tonight, and again I'll lay this out, I'm going to repeat the warning. The warning to not live like the people around you. Okay, find your way to Ephesians 4:17. Ephesians 4:17. So you heard my prayer tonight. My goal, right, to please the Lord is to make disciples out of all of you. You hear that? Not some of you. Okay? Everybody got this? It's what you signed up for when you said, yes, Lord. Remember when you said, yes, Savior? I remember those days when it was, yes, Savior. And then when that finally came and I said, yes, Lord. Ephesians 4:17, Paul writes to the church of Ephesus and he says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, and make them pastors of denominations. Now, I remember when lightning struck the church, when the ELCA voted to accept homosexuality and then quickly went on to transgender. And that denomination is really, if you will, very large here in our town. In fact, the unwritten headquarters now is this city. Yeah. Okay. They maintained their hold. Oh, and a tornado in the city when they took their vote. And they voted like the Methodists did. Who, being past feeling, all right, 4:19, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. It pays well, too. Okay? But you have not so learned Christ. You hear that? If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Now back to Joshua 24. So we had 23. This is the one on your fridge. Well, typically it's 24:15 that's on your fridge. 24:14. Now therefore fear the Lord. I just lay it out. Do you fear God? Okay? Do you fear God? Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. Sounds a lot like Romans 12, genuine church, right? The things we've applied. Serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. Serve ye the Lord. Other side of the flood is a reference to the gods that Abraham and then his dad Nahor, that they served when they lived over by Babylon. It's a reference to the serving of other gods, and this is Joshua. Notice Joshua already is talking with them about putting those gods away. If there was a word to us right now in the church, it would be an awareness for us to say and receive, well, listen to say what? Put away idols. Idolatry. Covetousness is idolatry. The things that I just would instruct you here, put away the gods which your fathers served. Serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which are your fathers, the God which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Matthew 6:24. Right? No man can serve two masters. You actually have to choose between serving the Lord and serving mammon, or the gods of this world, materialism, greed, pleasure, etc. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Joshua 24:23. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. Book of Judges is a warning not to live like the people around you. Don't follow their ways. Follow the Lord and do not turn aside to the right or to the left. I'm going to repeat that again. 24:23. Put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem, and Joshua wrote these words in a book of the law of God and took a great stone. Remember Sunday? Coming unto him as unto a living stone. Think of this witness. Okay? So Joshua here takes the witness, a great stone, set it under the oak tree that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest you deny your God. Now, it's hard for me not to use this phrase when thinking about ELCA, acceptance of immoral, biblically immoral, sinful practices, and calling it moral by ordaining, and likewise the UMC. It's hard for me not to use this phrase, fake church. Okay? But I'm not actually delivering this Bible study to them. I don't think anybody's going to listen to it. But you are. And we're here. And not only are we to learn from the book of Judges, we also have this great opportunity while we are dwelling in the land that God has placed us in order for us to prosper, and the witness of who Jesus is and what he said, and that we would serve the Lord. Again, here's words of Joshua 24:31. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and the days of the elders that overlived Joshua. So 1972 to 2024, 52 years. And I think that must be now how the UMC has, no longer following whoever was able to pass that and hold that, like Joshua and the elders. I think you catch the context of what I'm sharing with you. So let's get on to the study of the book of Judges. So remember what they said? They said, we're going to listen and obey God. So verse 1, Israel asked the Lord. The children of Israel asked the Lord. Now, I get a kick out of this and all these votes. You never hear that part. What did God say about this? But I like this. This is where it begins and how it begins for the children of Israel. Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them? Now, when we apply this, and again, I think about this, to learn to be led by the Lord. Okay, do you hear that? To learn to be led by the Lord. Pretty straightforward. Inquiring of God, asking God, who shall go up? The charge was for them to get rid of the nations that remain. Joshua had blanket victory. Okay, you think about that. And then there were these areas which each tribe would have to conquer for themselves in order to possess and dwell and be fruitful. Great application for us. To learn to be led by the Lord. The charge for everyone individually in the Lord to hear the word of God. I'm going to repeat that for you. Right? The charge for everyone individually in the Lord to hear the word of God. Pretty straightforward. You know, I think you all would agree together that you want a pastor who hears from God. Right? Well, I want a congregation that hears from God. The charge for everyone individually in the Lord to hear the word of God. The word down in our hearts. It's growth in our lives. Catch the theme from Sunday? Right? Desiring the pure milk of the word or the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So, that's my charge to you. To read your Bible, pray, and do what it says. That's my charge. For growth in our lives. Seed sown in the heart. And then our response. So I've already put on display tonight by reading that article, the offense in the church in regards to the word and to people. So much so that that particular denomination voted against the word of God. 692 to 57. So I'm just going to say it again. The offense in church regards to word and to people. Far better to offend people than to offend God. Okay. Next one here, root out the enemy. So we'll pick this up a little bit here as we come to this. Judah shall go up. The Lord said, Judah shall go up. I have delivered. Judah takes Simeon with him. Again, good brotherhood there. If you remember their inheritance, Simeon was entirely in the area of Judah. So their brothers dwelling side by side, they gather together. And Judah takes Simeon with him. And verse 4, Judah went up. And the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand. Now, one of the things we pick up right away in the book of Judges, as I talk about the blanket victory from the book of Joshua to have an overarching victory. It's like you get saved. You're a Christian. And that's that overarching victory that is over everything, that initial washing, renewing, and regeneration of the Holy Spirit. But God in his wisdom leaves areas in your life that need rooting out. Is it rooting or rooting? Very good. Now you're accountable for what you said. I bear witness that you said it. Root out the enemy, the flesh, the world, and the devil. So this charge I'm giving us tonight, and I don't emphasize idolatry a lot, but tonight in the Spirit I'm just going to say, it's time for you to root out the idols in your life. Straight up. Root out the enemy, the flesh, the world, and the devil. Now as we root out the enemy, this is what God has given you. Men who teach other men how to follow the Lord Jesus. Okay, what did I say up top? What I pray tonight, this book is about making you into a disciple of Jesus Christ. What is a disciple? A pupil, a learner, a follower. Okay? So as we root out the enemy, the flesh, the world, and the devil, devotions to hear from the Lord, driving out the enemy with the weapons of our warfare. Okay. So as we pick this up here, and Judah went up, Lord delivered the Canaanites, they killed 10,000 men in Bezek. Then they find this man named Lord Lightning, Adonai Bezek. They kill him. Pursued after him, cut off his big toes and his big thumbs, because that's what he had done. Adonai Bezek, he's a type of the devil. What? One ruling over others to their hurt. Okay? So you see the ruler of this world in that typology with Adonai Bezek. Again, I also like this. Lord of lightning, or again, what did Jesus say? I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Again, I think it's clear enough for us to take that. And again, weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God. It's time to stop listening to Satan's wicked, lying thoughts that he sows into your mind. Take your thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. If it's not tempting to you, you can identify it's a wicked, evil thought. It's not tempting to you, then it didn't originate from you. When he does tempt you according to your desires, again, you're drawn away by your own lust, then you're dealing with the flesh. And so there's two efforts here to root out the enemy. Some have been taken captive by the enemy to do his will. We studied that in 1 Timothy. I just, again, giving you the charge at the top of this understanding is this: submit unto God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. That's that initial. Submit unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So root out the enemy. How do you root out the world? Because isn't this the charge? So we have an Adonai Bezek, a type of the devil, which again, they pursue him. And in again, the case here with Adonai Bezek, they cut off his thumbs, and he died in Jerusalem. It says that the children of Israel, in verse 8, fought against Jerusalem and had taken it. And then they went down to fight against the Canaanites who dwelt in the mountain. And then they, go to Hebron. And you have in the natural realm where they are defeating the enemy. How do you root out the world? Well, let's start in 1 John 2. Pupil, learner, follower, disciple. Hey, if you don't want to be a disciple of Jesus, just go now. I mean, right? Isn't that what Joshua said? Joshua said, if you don't want to serve God, if you want to serve the other gods, he says what? Choose. It's not a bad thing for me to take this up in this way. If you don't want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, just go now. You go be a pupil, learner, follower of something else. Okay? But if you want to stay. It's not like the dove wing at the men's conference when we all gathered together and said, what? If you want darkness, men, if you want to hide, you want to walk in darkness, if you want that, what did I say to everybody? Go now. But if you stay, we're going to walk in the light. So much the same thought here as I share that with you. 1 John 2:15. Do not love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Push pause there. I'm going to read another verse. 23:11 of Joshua. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. How do you ever end up with a vote where you vote God out? The Democratic National Convention voted God out in 2016 officially. Deliberately removed him from their official platform. Okay. We have city elections coming up June 5th, Tuesday, the 5th. John Strand. Okay. Don't vote for him. Unless you want to anyway. Not political, right? Not Christian nationalism. Both of those are meant to club you from speaking out openly. Okay? So we're going to follow the Lord. We're going to be biblical. Governance is a very biblical concept. According to the documents by which we have in this country, it says we the people. So let's not be messed up or hung up on 1 Peter 2:2, or excuse me, is it 2 Peter 2? 1 Peter 2, submission. Romans 13, submission. Let's not mess that thing up. Let's be sound. Okay, back to 1 John 2. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Okay. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, okay, and this is discipleship now. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. So how do you root out the world? Right? How do you root out the enemy, the devil, the world? How do you root out the enemy? Well, by exposing his lies. You root out the enemy with the truth, speaking the truth in love. Again, removing the foothold. Further into Ephesians 4, you root out the enemy, the devil, by exposing him. Right? By being truthful with one another. Right? Not when you sin, you confess your sins unto God, right? And then be honest with each other. Live peaceable with one another. How do you root out the world? The world is lust of flesh, lust of eyes, pride of life. How do you root that out? Galatians 6:14. I'm going to make disciples out of all of you. And if you know of other people elsewhere that want to be disciples, that want to follow Jesus in sincerity and truth, isn't that the application? Then you go disciple them and you make disciples of every nation. How do you root out the world? If it's lust of flesh, lust of eyes, pride of life, how do you root out the world? What is it? I can't hear you, I'm sorry. I can't hear you. My earring.
Show no interest in it?
How do you show no interest in the world? Galatians 6:14. Anybody got it? What is it?
Boast in the cross of Jesus Christ.
I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. That's Galatians 2:20. What's 6:14 say? I've been crucified to the world and the world to me. How do you get rid of lust? Men, women, how do you get rid of lust of the flesh, lust of eyes, pride of life? How do you root out the world? Do you leave the world? Is anybody here going to leave the world? We're not leaving the world. We're in the world. The world, we're in it, but not of it. How do you root out the world? You need the cross, right? So you remove that part. All that's in the world, lust of flesh, lust of eyes, pride of life, you die to it. Who here can be a disciple of Jesus Christ any other way without the cross? He said unto us, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's your choice. Okay. How do you root out the world? Use the cross to crucify the flesh with all of its lusts and desires. Okay. Rooting out the world, the flesh, the world, and the devil. It's amazing how that cross actually is victory over all three. Huh. Amazing that God would give us instruction that is for our benefit that if we take to heart, he has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Okay. Now, to possess the land. So the call in the book of Judges is to dwell in the land, be fruitful, multiply. Again, the same thing, that they get up and they inquired of God and they listened to God. And here's the instruction, hearing and obeying the Lord. So over here in my notes, in verses 2 through 4, I just have this phrase, hear and obey. Hear and obey. So that requires you to ask of God. That's prayer. And then it requires you to do what? Do whatever he says to you. Whether it be pleasant in your mind or whether it be difficult, easy, whatever that is. Again, as he gives commandment, doing what he said. Now here's where we get to the rooting out the enemy of the flesh. Cutting off the flesh. Have you not heard from the Lord? Have you heard him, been taught by him, that this truth that is in Jesus, Ephesians 4, right? 4:20. Again, as we tie those two together, what has Jesus said to you about cutting off the flesh? Put off the old man, put on the new. Okay. All right, and then this last one here, beware the pattern of incomplete obedience. So we're going to save that one for next week. That'll be 16 through 36 for next week. But I'm already putting it on display for you by today's very present article from the Vote in Charlotte, North Carolina, from a denomination that has long held to actually believe. What do you know now? If you were wondering if the United Methodist, what's the C stand for? Convention? UMC. Church. I don't want to call it that anymore. I'm just saying this, you guys. But it's a warning for us. See, we're in the same world they're in. And then the conservatives, according to the AP, could not withstand the progressive nature of what? The world. Okay? So beware the pattern of incomplete obedience. Right? Do you hear that one? As disciples of Jesus Christ, beware the pattern of incomplete obedience. It's the word of God, right? Again, back to that hearing and obeying and doing what he has said. So we as a church will either follow the word of God or we will do what is right in our own eyes, book of Judges. This brings generations of destruction. Now let's pick up one last thing tonight, which I guess it wouldn't be one last thing. Next section. So they defeat in Jerusalem in verse 8, take the city with the edge of the sword, set it on fire. A great example of victory. Okay, the Lord delivers, the Lord saved. Maybe you're gaining victory in areas of your life. So guess what disciples do? Disciples of Jesus will actually root out areas that their flesh controls. Or they'll root out certain things in the world, or they will root out an idol that they have. Okay? You hear all that? So that's 8. 9, they go against the Canaanites that dwelt in the mountain and in the south. Went to Hebron, Kiriath Arba. By the way, Arba was a son of Anak, and them's guys were big. Those are giants. Remember the giants that when they went and spied out the land and the 10 got afraid and then they boasted and lied against the truth. And then the 10 out of the 12 spies died the next day. But Caleb, again, who we have here, he smited Kiryat Sefer, and he offered up that through his daughter Aksa to wife whoever would do that, and Othniel did that. So in Caleb, again, a great thing for us here. Caleb is still alive and fights against the enemy. Okay. So there's some people who have been pastoring for that entire 52 years now that you've seen this upside down change in the UMC. There's some pastors who've been pastoring that long and are what? Still alive and fighting the same fight. I figure that a pastor doesn't even know what he's really doing until about 20 years or so, 20 some. Maybe takes that long. Caleb is still alive and fights against the enemy. He wholly followed the Lord. Remember that. Caleb, a heart of fearless obedience and vision. How do you read your Bible? Jesus, you think Jesus, fearless obedience, right? Caleb wholly followed the Lord, fearless obedience and vision. And he knew the place he wanted. He went for it. As we're rooting out the enemy, the strongholds. So you think of 2 Corinthians 10, weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to pulling down the strongholds and every high thing that exalts, casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. A man of fearless obedience and vision. A Caleb of a man. He himself had faith and sought to establish that in others. You see that? He says, whoever takes this city, in faith, it can be done. I've done it. You can do it. Now, we apply this for being disciples. I simply lay this out. You can do this. You can root out the world out of your life. You really can. You really can root out the idols that maybe they were passed down to you from parents, grandparents. Maybe your family's got a love of money and it's just in you. And you can root this out. Whatever various, or maybe Satan has been messing with you because you've opened yourself up to something or yielded on something. Again, you can root him out. So Caleb himself had faith and sought to establish that in others. Understanding and possessing the word of God. That's Caleb. Remember that? Caleb received the promise of God that the land belonged to them, and he looked at everything and he says, yes, the opposition is great, but he said, we will be able to overcome it by our God. And then Caleb stepping into battle in faith. Now in Aksa here, his daughter, we have in here a picture of the church in Aksa. So it describes that they had an inheritance there in the Southland. Those of you, who's been to Hebron besides me? Got a parking ticket in Hebron, if you want to know. Somehow I couldn't read the Hebrew sign that said no parking. Wow, look at this. A spot right up front. That's what I remember about Hebron. So here, Aksa, if you look at verse 14, she moved him, Othniel, to ask of her father a field. Okay, so you look at this, it's a picture of the church, our inheritance in the Southland. Listen, this is how I've answered the call here. I'm going to go and do this here. You know, this work of ministry here, which we call Calvary Chapel Fargo, but what is it? It's the intent and thought to inherit this blessing of lives and souls and a city and salvation, mercy, repentance, all these things that, again, like the church, asking for a field, an inheritance. And again, in Israel, Hebron, it's a hard and dry ground. That's Hebron, hard and dry ground. And I'll just simply say this now, all callings are hard to produce fruits. Do you hear that? All callings are hard to produce fruits. So should we build it on a charismatic personality? Nope, we should build it upon hard work seeking the Lord. Hear that? Hard work seeking the Lord. Asking, again, that's prayer, right? Asking for a field. Asking for little things or big things? Okay, you start to see where this goes. Okay, so in that, oxa is a type of the church. I just read today, John 15. Abide in me, abide in my word, abide in my love. Go bear fruit. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and that your fruit should remain. My prayers remain. It's this, Lord, make us a fruitful branch in the vine. Fruits for the Father, not for us, but I want to deliver fruit unto our God that remains and lasts, and that's lives, and that's souls, and that's salvation, and that is, well, I'll be honest with you, it's the love of God in your lives. Okay? Asking for a field, it's a picture of the church. We see her in verse 14 coming down off the donkey and praying. In that you have Oxa asking her father. You have the church humbling themselves and praying and asking our Father in heaven for a field. Okay. And then Caleb asks her, what wilt thou, or what do you desire? Asking the Lord in prayer and knowing these things to ask our Father in prayer. Who's got John 15:7 memorized? Somebody does. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done. It shall be done unto you. What do you desire? Well, what she asks for, she says, you've given me a blessing. She says, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land, or you give me a field. Give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper and lower springs. And I'm just going to lay it out for you. We need the Holy Spirit. Anybody read Wisdom for Today? Today? How about yesterday? Wait. My aunt was for his highest yesterday. Spontaneous love? Springs of love? Is the Holy Spirit just springing up everywhere you go in your life? Okay. So what do you do with a hard, dry ground that it's very difficult to make fruitful? You humble yourself and pray and ask for that desire of your heart. We have been praying for years now, asking our Father to give us the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll leave with one final thought. Oh, upper and lower. I'll just simply say that. Baptism with the Holy Spirit for every circumstance of life. You might be in the lowest of lows and you forget what? That there's a spring of water in that thing. I was talking with one of my friends. He says, yep, Lord gave me a vision that at the bottom of the valley of the shadow of death, at the bottom of the valley usually is where it's green and where the water gathers, because water seeks its lowest point. So if you're going through all kinds of difficulty, what do you know? I know that if you will humble yourself and pray to the Father for the Holy Spirit, that there is a spring of living water of the Holy Spirit waiting for you at the lowest low. Now, that wasn't my final thought. That was an interruptive thought. But whoever that's for, Chris Finstead. Right? You ready for this? Okay. Must be for somebody else in here too, who at the lowest low, who's not making eye contact with me right now. No shame, is there? Do you realize that God has given this to us and for this in the circumstances of life? Greater works. How's that go? I go to the Father. What is it? And the greater works that I do, you will do. Where's that at? You're guessing. Fourteen, twelve. You're not guessing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So who's ready to ask with me tonight? What are we asking? What did Oxa ask? She asked for the Holy Spirit, if you will. She asked for springs of water. So if your personal life is dry and hard ground and just getting through to the Lord, and your enemy's entrenched, you got the world, you got the devil messing with you, you've got the flesh, what do we need? Need the Holy Spirit. Now, does anybody think that when you receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit that you're going to lose control of your abilities and faculties? That if you receive the gift of tongues, you'll just like be on the phone talking in tongues with people when you're trying to pay a bill? Doesn't work that way. Okay? Those gifts are subject. Right? The gifts of the prophets are subject unto the prophet. So they're subject unto you. So Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. And we believe that what we ask for tonight in your name, Jesus, as we come to you, Father, to ask for the Holy Spirit, that you do give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. So we ask for springs of water. Give us also springs of water. Lord, in the depths, in the heights, in every area of our lives, that there would be a spring of love, a spring of peace. For those who are not in peace tonight, that the baptism with the Holy Spirit would come upon us, and that the love and the joy and the peace. For those who lack joy tonight, Lord, there would be a spring of joy bubbling up. There would be a spring of love bubbling up. Lord, only you can turn a wilderness into pools of water. Only you can take a dry and hardened heart and pour water, living water upon it. Only you can take a life. Only you can take a city. Only you can take a people. who are barren and unfruitful and give them living water. So we believe tonight, as we ask in your name, Jesus, you will do this one, that you will give the Holy Spirit to us tonight. So I ask tonight, Lord, for the baptism with the Holy Spirit and a filling again. Lord, give us springs of water. Lord, I do take up for those in depths, trials, suffering, hurting, pain, Lord, suffering, loss, and ask for springs of living water right in that depth. Lord, give your Holy Spirit tonight love, joy, and peace to begin to bubble up in our lives. Patience, Lord, just a wonderful spring of patience in our lives. For Lord, we need your help to root out the enemy. Just ask for the Holy Spirit to have a greater power over sin and temptation. Ask for the Holy Spirit to have greater power for works of service, to make disciples, to go forth and teach us to pray and to possess and dwell and make fruitful here, Lord, in this land. It's a dry and hard ground, just like every other calling, to bring forth fruit. Lord, we ask for much fruit. So we abide in you tonight. Lord, I ask for the Holy Spirit so we can abide in you. Just a greater power of the Spirit to bear witnesses unto Jesus that you are the Son of God, and that as we go forth, Lord, the boldness and the gospel, a spring of living water, the Holy Spirit would bring life from our lives. And this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.